Well, I have a lot of thoughts, and I could easily go off script. If I go off script, my concern is that you will be here for a long time. There was a number of thoughts that went through my mind, a couple of the songs that we sang, a number of things that went through my mind. But if I go and get those, we could be in trouble. So we are going to start by just giving a little bit of an update about camp. And it's there already. Whoops. I first of all would like to say a big thank you to this church. This church has been a tremendous blessing, and when we come here, we feel like we are coming home. This is still home for us. And this church has been a blessing not only in financial support, not only in moral support, not only in work support, in prayer support. Just so many people, not only corporately but individually, have been a real blessing to us. And I would just like to say thank you for your part in Servant's Heart Camp. Now, I'd like to give you some updates. For some of these things, some of you are going to say, well, I've heard that before. Some of this is like information I gave at each of the end of each camp. Perhaps some of this was at the banquet. For some of you, it's going to be new, so I'm going to go through some of this fairly quickly. Even if you've been at some of those things, you will get some new information because things are happening all the time. Somebody just asked me today, if all the cabins are finished. Yes, all 10 cabins are finished and usable, and that is a blessing. And I will tell you a little bit about the blessing. If they wouldn't have been finished this year, we wouldn't have been able to have the increase in numbers that we've had this year. So that is a blessing. They don't all have the bunk beds in yet. There you see a cabin with the bunk beds. But we are working on that. We can put mattresses on the floor and that sort of thing. Of course, some of you have been there and see that they have commodes and showers and double sinks and all that sort of thing. This is kind of a graph of our growth. The first year in 2002, our first year of camp at Liberty Bible Camp, we had 71 campers. We continued to have a slow, steady growth until 2011 when we dropped to 222 campers. What happened in 2011? Anybody know what happened in 2011? We moved to the property in Ramey. We had porta-potties and shower tents. And somehow that did not go over real big. So 2011, we took a significant decrease in the number of campers. It was not till 2015 when we actually came back up to the number of campers that we had in 2010. So 2015, we actually surpassed that 222 and have been continuing to climb until we had 860 total campers this year. Now, that does not count the rally, if you were here at the youth rally and the quizzing and all that sort of activities. It does, however, count the ladies, the Joyful Heart. But the most significant part of that probably for us this year that caused the most growing pains are good, but they are painful nonetheless. If you look at this graph, and I'm not sure if you're able to see that, in 2007 we had 97 teen campers. In 2008, we had 166 teen campers. That's an increase of 69 teen campers. So that is a very significant increase for a small camp like us. Now, why do we care about additional campers? Let's just do a little bit of a flashback here. Summer camp 2006. Now, why do we flashback to summer camp 2006? Just 2 months ago, in September, I got an email from a young man that said, I just felt compelled to write this email. He said, I have not been at camp since 2006. He said, but I want to tell you, he said, that's where I surrendered my life to full-time Christian service. He said, in fact, when I think of the significant decisions that I made as a teenager, spiritual decisions, he said, nearly all of them were made at Servant's Heart Camp. He said, I'm in the ministry today, and a rather large ministry, seeing a number of people come to the Lord. I'm in the ministry today to a large part, because of what God did in my life at Servant's Heart Camp. I am not one that's given to discouragement, but actually the night before my wife would, oh, she's not here tonight. The night before, it was one of those nights when I was a little bit down. Things were not going quite the way I anticipated with some of the events, and that was just a real shot in the arm. That's the reason that we're interested in taking more campers. So having those additional campers was some growing pains. One of the growing pains was our old dining tent was not big enough. This is the new dining tent. We have the tables the way they are here sometimes. If it's a larger group, we can seat 80 people. Sometimes, depending on the size of the group with the staff, we need to go bigger than that. We put the tables the long direction, and we can seat about 110 people in that dining tent. Another thing was we did not have room in our shed. The camp store was along two tables in the side of the shed. And we decided it is time to get that out of there because we need the room in the shed. Rochelle is in charge of the bookstore. Matt is in charge of construction. So between the two of them, we said we need something for the camp store. So that is the camp store. This is actually a real blessing. Before the evening rally, this is kind of where all the kids hang out. They're there in the porch. In fact, till next year, we'd like to put some additional tables right across from the driveway here, some additional picnic tables. It's a great place. We love for them to hang out there because there's adult supervision. And so that was another part of the growing pains. We needed to get the camp store out of the shed. If you've seen this before, that's the inside of the store. And just very nice, very attractive place for the camp store. That's a picture of our staff from this past year. This staff was a miracle staff. I don't have time to tell the story. Some of them did not seem as much of a miracle as others, but some of them came. If I would tell you the story, you would say, that is a miracle, the way they showed up at camp. I mean, it was a miracle, the way they showed up at camp. And it was a good staff. It was an excellent staff. A couple that are right here were in that picture. And if we have a good staff, it makes my summer easy, and we have a good staff. You've probably heard me say this before. If I would have a lousy evangelist or a lousy staff, if I had to pick, I'd pick the lousy evangelist. Our staff will make a bigger impact upon the campers than what the evangelists will. They're with them all day, and we had an excellent staff and just a real blessing. Each summer, we dress, we greet the campers dressed for the theme. And this past year, it was Royal Celebration. If you see the castle behind the people, the Beechels did that. And that was a tremendous blessing. They just showed up and put it up, and it was just a huge blessing. Just another one of the updates. Since we were in the property in 2002, it seems like every year we said, we've got to get the next cabin finished. We've got to get this finished. We've got to get this finished. And we feel like we have fallen behind a little bit on fun things. It's not that we don't have fun things for the campers, but when I go and look at other camps of what they have, I feel like, boy, why do they even show up at Servant's Heart? And obviously, they are not coming to Servant's Heart for the fun. They are coming because of the atmosphere, some other reasons. But we decided that we would like to put in a zip line this coming year. And this next picture will show you what we had originally thought about. We thought the zip line would go from one side to the other. In fact, we'll take you a little bit slower in that zip line. Bettina, would you like to go on the zip line?
Maybe.
Okay. I'll talk a little bit about that zip line here in just a minute. We are now thinking the zip line is probably going to go the other direction. I'm learning a whole lot about zip lines that I didn't know about before. I thought you just strung a cable between two trees and everything was good. But everything is not good. There's a whole lot more things to think about than that. Just a little bit about the lodge. We have been working with an architect, and that's the preliminary plans for the lodge. Excited about that. There's some minor modifications to that yet, but basically that's what we're expecting the lodge to look like. Why do we need a lodge? Well, we need a lodge for a number of reasons, but right here you see one of the final rallies that we had for, this was a teen camp, I believe, one of the final rallies. And no, the tables for the camp store were not inside there. It was filled on the inside, and we were overflowing to the outside. So we desperately need it for housing people, for seating people, but we also need it just for the atmosphere, just a whole lot of things to get out of the dining tent, that sort of thing. Just very quickly, we'll go through this very quickly. Of course, it has a nice meeting room, climate-controlled meeting room that you don't hear the thunder and the lightning and, you know, have the rain blowing in the back doors, that sort of thing. Has a game room, which would eliminate the game tent. Then a number of other little rooms, offices and conference room and that sort of thing. Upstairs, of course, would be the dining room. Most people that come to camp, if they're over a meal, they kind of like to eat. So we have a dining room, a kitchen, and then a number of other rooms, the laundry and that sort of thing. So that's the laundry. That's the look at the lodge. And I'm keeping moving here fairly quickly because I do want to take some time to preach as well. Some of you have heard this story. Why would I show a picture of Somerset State Correctional Institute? And I'll tell this story very quickly. I have a friend that's in Somerset State Correctional Institute. I went to see him this spring, and I really felt like I don't have time to go visit this guy, but I really feel like I should. I ought to go see him again. You know what? The Lord is gracious. I came home with a skip in my step. It was so neat. He's one of our faithful supporters. He supports us every month. Obviously, it's not a huge amount. He makes 25 cents an hour in jail. But when I got there that day, he said, I pray for you frequently throughout the day. He said, in fact, the other night, he said, I was praying that the Lord would just give you $1 million for that lodge. And he said, the Lord like impressed upon me, well, how serious are you about this? Would you fast? He said, Lord, not tomorrow. He said, tomorrow is when we have Philly cheesesteaks. He said, it's the best meal that we get in here. But he said, I was faithful. And anyhow, this guy has been just an absolute encouragement. Every month I get a letter from him. And I'll tell you what, if I would have a stack of 10 letters that I know that there's checks in, I mean, 10 letters with checks in would be exciting on a day. But I would probably go to his first and open it up because he's going to share a verse. He's going to tell about how he's been praying. He's going to share something from the Bible. And he's just been a real encouragement. And in this presentation that I've done at the end of each camp, I ask other people, would you be willing to join him in praying for Servant's Heart Camp? Whether you're young or older, male or female, or all by yourself, or maybe you come to church and you're the first one here and you have some time to pray. Would you pray? Now, what should you pray for? And once again, I want to go through this very quickly. Now, some of the things are obvious what you should pray for at Servant's Heart Camp. When I got to this thing, I just pulled out my prayer list, and I started looking at some things, and I thought, I'm just going to share with some of you some of the things that are on my prayer list that we're praying for. The zip line. I thought the zip line was easy, and first of all, it's not all that easy. It looks like we need about a 35-foot tower on the one side, but the other thing is the Amusements and Rides, Pennsylvania Amusements and Rides, is stepping in and say, that's governed by Pennsylvania Amusements and Rides. So I read the regulations, and there's a little thing in there. If it's primarily used for religious reasons, it's exempt from all their long list. So I called them. They said, do you charge for people to come to camp? I said, yes. They said, then you have to go under our regulations. And it's not that we're trying not to be safe. I've already talked to the insurance company. The insurance company is happy with what we're doing. They'll cover it. It's actually not even all that expensive. And So I thought, oh, what do I do? That's not what it says. It doesn't say anything in the regulation. So I typically don't do this, but I called the state representative, and they went to bat. They come back and said, no, they said it's primarily for religious. I said, it's all for religious. We wouldn't be putting this zip line in if we wouldn't want young people to come to hear the gospel. So I was actually dealing with the secretary. He said, why don't you give it to us, and we'll present it to the state. So right now we're praying, should we just go and have all this extra expense and have an engineer stamp it and have all this red tape? And when she looked at it, she said, man, they're really putting you through it. She read down through all the stuff. So right now we're praying, what should we do? Should we just try to get around it? Should we go through it? If it's a law, we want to do it. But it seemed pretty clear to me that it is not the law, that we don't need to abide by all those things. Also, we're going through some issues, probably putting the zip line on the opposite side. Well, there's just a whole lot about a zip line that I didn't know. But anyhow, we're working through that as well. Lodge architect. The board has voted to take the next step. We have the preliminary plans. The board has voted to take the next step and get final drawings for a lodge so that we could hand it to a builder, and the builder would say, this is exactly how much it's going to cost you. And we were a little bit slower. I personally was a little bit slow on doing that. I thought, why do we do this when we don't have the money to take the next step? But some of the people that would be interested perhaps in helping are given to detail, and they want to know that you have everything thought out. So we have just talked to four architects. I eliminated one on the phone. We have talked to three. We already have the pricing from two of them. And one of them says, you will definitely need a sprinkler system. Another one says, no, you will not need a sprinkler system. One says, you will definitely need an elevator. The other one says, no, you will not need an elevator. I'm saying, who is right? How do we know? So here in the next weeks or months, we would like to determine which architect that we are going to use to design the lodge. Well, we have to know if we're going to put an elevator in the corner or if we're not going to put an elevator in the corner. We have to know if we're going to have a sprinkler system or if we're not going to have a sprinkler system. And they're looking at the same building code, but if the architects don't know, I can tell you I don't know. And we just need some wisdom as far as the next step with the lodge. Of course, the lodge finances. Honestly, I was anticipating we would announce that we're building a lodge and the first 100 or 200,000 would come in fairly quickly. It has not happened. Does that mean that God is out of control? No. No. God knows exactly what he... Nehemiah 6, I think. 1 through 10, anyhow. And Nehemiah, the people, after the walls were built, the people perceived or knew that God was in it. This is not a quote, this is a paraphrase, but look it up. The people perceived or knew that God did it. When this lodge is built, friends, you will know it doesn't have anything to do with me, but of a gracious God. And that's my prayer, that we would get to the end of this and we would say, God did this. Okay. Teen campers. Now, just let me say a word about teen campers. I told you we were filled to the brim last summer, and we turned away at least one church, one pretty good-sized church that we turned away. So because of that, we added another week of teen camp. So if we would have the same number of teen camps each week, excuse me, this coming year, we would have the potential of having 220 teen campers. Now, for a small camp like us, that's a huge amount of teen campers. Well, almost... after we had all this scheduled, I found out that one church that came last year is not, one a pretty good-sized church, is not coming back this year. They come from North Carolina. The youth pastor's wife is pregnant. They don't feel like they can travel with a three-month-old baby, or four-month, whatever it would be, so they are not coming back. So all of a sudden, I think, uh-oh, here we added a week, and now already we're losing a church. So we would like to have four camps that are filled up. So I've been starting praying. We would look like or like-minded churches. Anybody, of course, can come to camp, but we would like some like-minded churches to come with their teen campers. Other camps, too, but the teen camp, just because we added the extra week, that's the one. This is on my prayer list. These are things that I... summer staff. Oh, I pray for summer staff all the time. You know, it's great to look at those delightful young people, you know, lined up in a row. But I'll tell you what, sometimes it's a struggle to get them. Many times they have to take much less. We do have started that scholarship program for the summer staff, and that has helped. But just pray for us as concerning summer staff. Internship, something that we have talked about. We don't have all the plans narrowed down yet, but we would like to start an internship program. That internship program would either be for a couple, a young couple, or two guys is what we're currently thinking, although we're very fluid on this as we're working through it. What we would like is they would come for 15 months. They would come there in May of 1 year. They would learn the ropes. Those young men, or the young man, if it's a couple, would do everything I do. They would learn how to do the tax returns for a 501c3. They would learn how to dig ditch with a backhoe. They would learn how to dig ditch with a shovel. Everything that I do, they would... hopefully they already know how to dig ditch. But everything that I do, they would do. They would do everything that a camp director does. They would serve through the next year of camp. By that time, hopefully they would have some real benefit. And then at the end of that, we could say, hey, we could say, be on your way. Or we could say, would you enjoy coming and being part of the leadership team and coming? So that's one thing that we're praying for. This is also on my prayer list, wisdom. You know, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And that's one thing that's on my prayer. Man, so often I need wisdom of what does God have for me to do? How should I approach this situation? I wish I could say I always use God's wisdom. Sometimes I jump over and walk in the flesh a little bit, but I want to have God's wisdom. So these are just some of the things. I thought about making another line. I could have filled up another column of prayer requests, but that was just some that are maybe some that you wouldn't think about. Obviously, we're praying for people that have made decisions in the past that we want them to go on and be faithful. We want kids to come to camp and make good decisions. But thank you for what you have done for us. And you have been a blessing. When I was reviewing this message this afternoon, I said to myself, you're in trouble. Because it's longer than what we have time for. When Pastor Sean asked if I would preach tonight, well, when he asked me, I misunderstood. And I thought I was just giving a ministry update. I didn't realize that I was also preaching. And I think it was earlier this week that he said, did you understand that? I said, no. So, because I preach at some different churches as I present the ministry, I went right to something that I've done before and said, oh, let's see, I could do this one. But for some reason, I kept coming back to something that I had not done before. And I don't know who it's for. Maybe it was for me, but I'm going to share with you, and we're going to probably skip a number of the verses that I am just going to read for you rather than turn to them. If I would give a title to the message tonight, it would be Faithful in the Wait, or Waiting Faithfully. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, I'm asking for you to be glorified tonight. Do your will, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I would like to start by telling a little story or a little parable, per se. I hate to call it a parable because I think of Jesus doing parables. So we'll call it a little story. There was a family that had three sons that were fairly close in age. And in their early teenage years, the mom and dad sat them down and said, sons, we're going to do something special for you. We're going to take you on a trip that you will not forget. This is going to be an exciting trip. We're not going to tell you many of the details now, but we will tell you that you'll be flying first class. But we want to tell you, one part of the reason that we're doing this is that, the community that we live in is not doing things that are just real pleasing to the Lord. They're doing a lot of things that we just want you to abstain from. But we are going to reward you abundantly. We are going to reward you abundantly for all those things that you've given up. In fact, there's some things that aren't necessarily bad, but some things that we just have a little concern that we know the kids in the community are doing. I mean, the old quarry that's out there that's filled up with water, they're running off the edge of the cliff. And if they make it out far enough, they actually get down and splash into water. And I mean, it seems like a neat thing, but kids, we just don't think that you should be doing that. There's just too much hazard for that. And out at the other end of town, there's this big bridge. And the kids have actually made a homemade bungee jump. And they have it with some cable clamps off the top, and you can jump off. But it just does not seem safe to us. And kids, it would just be better if you would abstain from that. And the last thing we just want to mention is they're having these bicycle races. Down the big hill over here, they're having these bicycle races where you take your hands off and you race. You pedal for all you're worth with your hands off. And it just seems like that could be hazardous. But you're going to enjoy this trip. This trip is going to be wonderful. This trip is going to be wonderful. Now, the dad explains all this, and every once in a while he would talk about the trip, and he said, we're going to do this trip. They wouldn't hear about it often, but for the sons, days turned into weeks. Weeks turned into months. Months turned into years. And they started to wonder, is this trip ever going to happen? Particularly the middle son. he started to go over, and he would watch them. He would watch them jump over the cliff into the water that filled up the quarry. He could almost feel the adrenaline rush. I mean, he started to enjoy it. He would go over here and he'd watch him jump off the bridge with that bungee cord. He's thinking, man, there's six kids in a row. It worked. It would probably work for me too. And then he would go over and watch him in the bicycle race. And he thought, boy, I bet if there's any that my parents would care the least about, it'd be this bicycle race. He said, man, I could do that. So he goes home and starts practicing on his bicycle. He could get down the driveway without his hands, and he could pedal pretty good, and everything went, it was really neat. Well, one day he found out when the next race was, and it worked out perfect. His parents were going away. So he goes over to this race, and they head on down the hill, and he is at the head of the pack. I mean, he's at the head of the pack, no hands, and he is pedaling for all his worth and kind of steering by leaning back and forth. Just about that time, he hits a small stone on the driveway. The wheel turns like this, the bicycle goes like this, and he lands in a heap, moaning and groaning. Well, he broke his arm, went to the hospital, got a cast on, finds out for the next 10 weeks he's going to have a cast. He goes home to his parents, who were not very pleased. He gets some reprimand, but finally they put him on the couch with some Tylenol and made him comfortable. And then they said, gather around, guys, we have something to tell you. They said, yesterday we booked the tickets. Yesterday we booked the tickets for a trip of a lifetime. It's going to be in a week. In a week we're going to go on this trip. Well, by the week, the guy was feeling fairly comfortable in his cast. He couldn't really do anything with that arm, but with his other arm, he could do some things. They said, we are going out west. So they flew out west, and the first thing they did, they went to the Grand Tetons. Dad said, kids, I've been dreaming about this. I've had this scheduled. We didn't have all the details, but he said, I've had this scheduled from back when I talked to you 5 years ago. I've had this scheduled. He said, we are going to go four-wheeling in the Grand Tetons. He said, I've rented some four-wheelers. Oh, he said, you to the middle son, I don't think you're going to be able to drive with one hand. But you sit over here, and that's kind of where all the trails pass. And so you'll see us come past frequently, and we'll wave to you when we go past. So they did that, and he didn't really have much of a choice because he couldn't use his hand, and he would wave to his brothers and his dad as they went past. Well, the next day, they went up, way up high in the mountains. Dad says, this is one of the best ski slopes around. He said, we're going to go skiing all day today. Oh, he said, you middle son, if you sit there in front of the window in the lodge, he said, when we come down, we'll wave real big at you. I don't know how you wave. He said, we'll wave at you, and you wave back. Now, how do you think the son felt? Sitting there in the lodge. The next day they went down, headed down toward the warmer climates, and they had a kayaking trip. And he couldn't participate. He sat up in the edge, and when they went by, he waved as they went by. This middle son, do you think he had any regrets? Do you think he had any regrets? Turn with me to John 14. Some of you perhaps have already put the rest of the message together. John 14. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. God said, Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I mean, it almost sounds like this dad, all the details weren't worked out yet. He knew what was going to happen. It was going to be a place of a lifetime, beyond a lifetime. And then we're not going to take the time to look at these, but just I want to just read a couple verses to you. Matthew 5. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Did the father do for that middle son as he told him he would do? Yes, he took him on that trip of a lifetime. And here Jesus said, great is your reward in heaven. He didn't say, you're going to make it to heaven. He said, great is your reward. 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 14. Every man's work, I'll start with verse 13. Every man's work shall be manifest, and the day shall declare it, and it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Is this amazing? Not only did God promise us heaven, he promised us rewards. Now, Ezekiel, do you think running a four-wheeler in the Tetons would be a pretty good reward? These rewards don't compare. We can't. For me, this trip sounded pretty cool. But we can't fathom what God has for us. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're appearing before the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded. The Bema seat of Christ. Does the waiting sometimes seem long? Does it seem like some of these things that the Lord says, maybe it would be better for you to stay away from them? Does it seem like, is it really worth it? Maybe I should just participate in them and just have some fun. This goes not only for eternal rewards. Some of you are in the midst of waiting for something. I don't know what it is that you're waiting for. It also has to do with right here on earth, being faithful in the wait. Being faithful in the wait. I'd like to look at just briefly, very briefly, three examples of people that had to wait. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. This is quite a wait. This is quite a wait. Genesis chapter 12. Some of you know what Genesis chapter 12 is. Verse 1 through 3. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. How would you like if God would say, if somebody blesses you, they're going to be blessed. If somebody curses you, they're going to be cursed. I mean, this he promised them a land, a blessing. I mean, this is a pretty significant promise that God gave to Abraham. How old was Abraham when he gave that promise? Look at verse 4. Down near the bottom of the verse, and Abraham was 75 years old. He was 75 years old. Now, if God promised me some offspring and I was 75 years old, how soon am I expecting this to happen? It better be tomorrow. I mean, do you think that's what Abraham was thinking? I mean, we're not told what he was thinking, but I'm thinking he was thinking, man, this is going to happen here fairly quick. We go over to Genesis 15. Go over to Genesis 15. Verse 2 and 3. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. So Abraham, do you hear the doubt here? I don't know when this is. Let's just say he's 80 now. I don't really know that, but let's just say he might be 80. So 5 years have passed. Do you think Abram would have been getting, Abraham would have been getting pretty antsy at this point, saying, I'm 80 years old, something has to be happening here, don't you think? I would think so. So he says, Lord, he said, I know what you meant. It would have been be impossible for you what I thought I understood, but probably you meant that Eliezer should be my offspring and he will be the heir. And what did he say? We're not going to take the time to look at it, but if you go to the, well, maybe we, no, we won't. If you go on to, down, you see that, do you remember what God did? God gave him a clear sign. He said, I want you to take a three-year-old, I forget what it is, a three-year-old she-goat and a three-year-old this and a three-year-old that, and I want you to separate their body parts. Put half of it over here, half of it over here, half of it over here. And remember how he shooed the birds off? And as the sun set, as it got dark, I think it's a burning flame and a smoking pot went through that between them. And Abraham did not go through it. That was a sign of an unconditional promise. God said, I'm going to do this. Don't you worry, Abraham. I'm going to do this. Do you think Abraham's faith was bolstered? Do you think he said, oh, yeah, God said he's... God said he's going to do it. He's really going to do it. He's really going to do it. Another 5 years goes by. Do you feel Abraham's pain? I mean, I'm now 85, 86 years old. Maybe I misunderstood. Maybe I misunderstood. And look what happens. You know this part of the story. Verse 16, chapter 16. And Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him their children, and she had a handmaiden, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abraham, Behold, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And what happened? Do you realize when you step outside of God's will, there are problems come immediately. Sometimes they don't come immediately. Look at this. It's not good, but I want you to see it. Verse 4. And he, Abraham, went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. The same verse, family conflict, start. There was family conflict. Sin happened. Before the end of the verse, there's conflict in the family. Verse 5. When Sarai said unto Abraham, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. When she saw that she was conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Conflict started almost immediately. Chapter 17. 25 years later. 25 years later. Bettina, if you had 75 and 25, what do you get? Oh, yeah. 100, okay. He was 99 years old, 100 years old when Isaac was born. Is that a long wait? Yes. What happened because of his impatience? What happened because of his impatience? Was there conflict in the home? Yes, there was great conflict at the home. I mean, we're not going to take the time to look at it. In Psalm 83:4, it's the Ishmaelites talked about wiping Israel off the face of the earth. Wiping Israel. So even back in Psalm, and the battle continues today. But I want you to see something. Genesis chapter 21. I want you to read, when I stop reading, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. When I stop reading, I want you to read the next four words. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. Can you say that again? What does that mean? So God was just kind of haphazardly coming up with a time for this to happen? God had a set time. You know, sometimes we see God do a miracle. I've seen this at camp. The first morning that I was on that new camp property, I saw God do a miracle. And I'll tell you what, I needed that. I needed that to bolster my faith. But sometimes days turn into weeks and weeks turn into months. And we say, God, is there another way? Maybe there's another way to make this happen. Let's look very quickly. And we're not going to look, in the interest of time, I don't think we're going to look up any verses for this story. But how about David? 1 Samuel 16, David was anointed as king. Can you imagine David being anointed as king? He knew he was going to be the next king of Israel. And then as time went on, and Jonathan came, and that it was confirmed in Jonathan in 1 Samuel 23:17. Jonathan says that thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And the time went on, and did David see time after time his protection from David? But finally, you know what? Let's look at one verse. 1 Samuel 27. 1 Samuel 27. First Samuel 27, verse 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. Imagine, he was going to go to the arch enemy of Israel. Did he believe that somehow God was no longer going to protect him? Did he believe that somehow God had, you know, taken a little nap and couldn't protect him any longer? That he was going to go to the Philistines? A little compromise leads to a bigger compromise. If you remember in chapter 28, they came and said, okay, David, it's been great to have you here, but we're going to go fight against the Israelites now. Are you coming along? Oh, what am I going to do now? A little compromise leads to a big compromise. How about Joseph? As our third positive example, if there's anyone that could have been bitter, could have said it's time to forsake God. He was sold into slavery. Does that sound like a raw deal? Joseph did right and did right and did right. He fled from Potiphar's wife and he was thrown into jail. Was he rewarded for his faithfulness? Yes. Yes, he was. I have a lot I wanted to say here yet, but we're running out of time. So we're going to jump ahead to 1 Peter. We're going to jump ahead to 1 Peter. What is the weight that you are in? There's not only weights for eternity of us being faithful here, but sometimes there's little weights of things that God is putting you through right now that you say, oh, maybe I need a step out. I'm sure that God didn't really mean this. And you're going through a time of suffering, perhaps, a time of turmoil. I want you to see several verses. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. And I want you to see how faithfulness in suffering, in difficulties, in waiting, is tied into glory. Is tied into glory. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, in my Bible I have a pencil highlighted in one color, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, that it might be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory, I have that highlighted in a different color, at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So you see, you have the trial of your faith, and we have glory. If we're faithful in the trial of our faith, glory comes. Drop down to verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand of the sufferings. I have sufferings in that same bluish color. And the glory that should follow. When did the glory come? After the faithfulness in suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when the glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. See how suffering, faithfulness and suffering goes with glory and joy. 1 Peter 4, verse 13. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be... Oh, I just read that one. I'm sorry. 5:1. I can follow these because they are highlighted in my Bible. The elders which are among you I exhort, whom also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory. Do you see this? In some ways, it almost makes you want to suffer a little bit so you could have part of the glory. But no, I didn't say that. But if the Lord does send suffering, do we want to be faithful for the glory that's going to come? 5:10. But when God of all grace, who hath given unto us his eternal glory, now this time glory is first, by Christ Jesus, but listen to this, after that ye have suffered. So the glory was mentioned first in the verse, but it says, after that ye have suffered a while. Turn it over to Hebrews. This will be our closing last verses that we'll look at, I believe. Verse 35 and 36. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. In other words, don't cast away your confidence in the Lord, which has a great reward associated with it. For ye have need of patience, that after, that's the word I have highlighted in this verse, after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise or the blessing. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise or the blessing. What is the trial that God has you going through right now? What's the difficulty that God has going? What's the thing that you are longing for in your life? That God, you feel like it's of God. We saw folks that stepped outside of God's perfect plan to seek that. But we endure the suffering faithfully. And what comes later? Highlight these verses in 1 Peter. The glory comes later. Hebrews, after that ye have cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. In other words, there's great reward if you're faithful. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the blessing, or the promise, or the blessing. Pastor Sean.